蓝天之下有滋润的水泉，旷野之中有歇脚的绿洲。欢迎来到蓝天绿洲。
欢迎来到蓝天绿洲，我是李诺。今天呢，我们要跟着查尔斯一起来查考圣经新约的马可福音十二章。在这一章当中呢，耶稣对人讲了一个故事，可以说也是一个比喻，就是有关于葡萄园的比喻。也许朋友你听过这个故事，或许你还曾经疑惑过，为什么那些被主人雇来看守葡萄园的人呢，要打死主人的仆人，甚至打死主人的儿子。不得不说呀，耶稣基督在世上所跟我们讲的每一句话，每一个的比喻，每一个的故事呢，都是蕴含着丰富的真理的。这个葡萄园的故事呢，同样也蕴含着有关天国的奥秘。只是呢，我们需要好好的、认真的来查考，才能够明白耶稣想要告诉我们的。那在接下来呢，我们就一起来听有关马可福音十二章这个葡萄园的故事，对我们现在当下的生活有着什么样的意义。
Jesus told us, you will know a tree by its fruit. And in Mark 12, I want us to see two examples of bad fruit.
耶稣告诉我们，从果子就能看出它是什么树。而马可福音十二章让我们看到两个坏果子的例子。
What do a vineyard and a widow, a poor widow at that, have in common? Well, let's dive into Mark 12 and find out. Let's listen together.To the opening of Mark 12 and the first 12 verses.
葡萄园跟穷寡妇有什么共通之处呢？就让我们进入马可福音十二章发掘吧。先来听开头的十二节经文。
Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower.Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others, some of them they beat,Others they killed.
耶稣就用比喻对他们说，有人开垦了一个葡萄园，四周围上篱笆，挖了一个榨酒池，盖了一座守望楼，租给园户，就外出远行去了。到了时候，他打发一个仆人到园户那里，要向他们收葡萄园的果子。他们拿住他，打了他，叫他空手回去。原主再打发一个仆人到他们那里，他们打伤他的头，并且侮辱他。原主又打发一个仆人去，他们就杀了他。以后又打发好些仆人去，有的被他们打了，有的被他们杀了。
He had one left to send, a son, whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son."
原主还有一位是他的爱子，最后又打发他去说，他们会尊敬我的儿子。
But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard.
那些园户却彼此说，这是承受产业的，来，我们杀了他，产业就归我们了。于是他们拿住他，杀了他，把他扔出葡萄园。
What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this passage of scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
这样，葡萄园主要怎么做呢？他要来除灭那些园户，将葡萄园转给别人。匠人所砌的石头已做了房角的头块石头，这是主所做的，在我们眼中看为奇妙。这经文你们没有念过吗？
Then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away.
他们看出这比喻是指着他们说的，就想要捉拿他，但是惧怕众人，于是离开他走了。
Well, the parables are all about the kingdom. And the kingdom is completely counter to the way we live our lives in a broken and fallen world. In the kingdom of God, the least is the greatest, and suffering brings glory. Humiliation means exaltation.Kingdom stories have to go against our expectations because the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the kingdom of heaven, is unlike anything we've heard before. It's about a king who dies for his people, a Lord who pays his citizens taxes, a God who saves his people at his own expense. So what about the story we just heard from Mark 12?
这个比喻是跟国度有关的。而这个国度和我们这个世界的破碎与堕落正好相反。在神的国度里，最小的才是最大，受苦带来荣耀，谦卑才能高升。有关国度的故事和我们的期待总是相反，因为耶稣基督的国度就是天国，是我们前所未闻的。这个国度的王为他的百姓而死，这个国度的主为他的臣民缴税，这位神自己付代价来救他的子民。那么刚才我们听到的马可福音第十二章说的是什么故事呢？
It's about a man who planted a vineyard. Then he leaves it in charge of some hired tenants. This was a normal thing in the ancient world, people getting put in charge of another's estate to watch over it while they go off on another project, some other business. But this is where the story starts to get strange.The man begins to send representatives to collect the profits after each year's crop is harvested. And what do? They get violent. Did you hear the progression? They beat up the first one, and they send him away. They really beat up the second one, and they disgrace him. And then they start killing them, even to the point of killing the man's very own son, the heir of the vineyard. Surely,They would respect his son. No, they didn't do that. They killed him. And they thought they would get his inheritance. And it's here you might ask, why doesn't the man just stop sending people? Why does he keep sending representatives? Well, it's a story about the kingdom. It's a story about the history of God's people.
这故事说的是一个人开垦了葡萄园之后，就把田地交给了一些租户。这在古代是常有的事，当主人到别处经营生意的时候，会请人来看守和管理他的产业。但这里这个故事的发展有点奇怪，主人开始派人到那些租户那里要取葡萄园定期该有的收成。那些租户怎么做呢？他们居然束诸武力。你有没有留意到过程的演变？他们打了第一个仆人，放他走了，又打了第二个，羞辱他，之后开始要人的命，甚至连葡萄园主人唯一的儿子也杀了。他可是这个园子的继承人呐。但租户们没有尊敬他，反而杀了他，并且想要霸占这个葡萄园。可能你会问，这个主人不要派人去不就好了吗？为什么他要不停派人去呢？原来这是关于神国度的比喻，描述了神百姓的光景。
Remember what the Pharisees did after Jesus told that story? They wanted to arrest him, because they realized the story was about them. The Jews didn't have a great history with their prophets. They ignored them time and time again. Isaiah was sent to Israel, even though the Lord told him right up front that they would ignore him. Israel didn't pay attention, even persecuted some of the prophets. The word of the Lord just wasn't that important to them.
耶稣讲完这个比喻之后，法利赛人做了什么？你记得吗？他们想要抓耶稣，因为他们知道这个故事说的是他们。在犹太人的历史中，先知没有受到重视。以色列人重复的不听先知的话。以赛亚先知蒙差遣往他们当中的时候，神明确地告诉他，他们不会听他说。以色列不止不留意听，更逼迫某些先知。神的话对他们来说并不是很重要。
I heard a pastor just a couple of weeks ago say that he's going to stop saying the Bible says in his sermons. He means he's going to stop pointing his people to the authority of the word of the Lord. But you know what? We have to stand on the word of God as our sole source of truth and hope. And Israel didn't do that, and it led them to kill Jesus. And if we're not careful, it can lead us to completely reject him as well.
几个星期之前，我听到一个牧师说，他以后都不会在讲道中提到圣经怎么说。意思是，他不会向会众强调神话语的权威。但你知道吗？我们必须站在神话语的根基上，以神的话作为真理与盼望的唯一根据。而以色列并没有这样做，因此导致他们把耶稣杀了。如果我们不谨慎，也可能渐渐地走到完全拒绝耶稣的地步。
This is a story about the kingdom. God so loved his people that he sent his son into the world, even though he knew Jesus would be arrested and killed by this world. That's what this parable shows us. The wonderful love, the grace of the Lord to you and me. Even though we dismiss him and are prone to wander, he comes after us. And he does it over and over again. That's what the cross was all about. The Lord saving us at his own expense. Now, that works two ways. It happened once and for all to forgive us our sins. But then Jesus, thankfully, when we belong to him, keeps coming back to us to bring us back to him. But here, this is leading up to the Son getting ready to die for us. It shows that he cares for us. And that's what the end of Mark 12 is all about as well.
这是关于国度的故事。神爱世人，即使知道耶稣会被抓、被杀害，神还是差派他的独生子来到世上。这个故事说的就是这个，神对你和我奇妙的爱与恩典。即使我们不理会他，喜爱游荡，但神仍然不断地紧跟在我们身后。十字架的意义就在于此，主自己付出代价来救我们。耶稣一次受死就担当了所有人的罪，但是当我们属于耶稣之后，他仍然继续不断来带领我们回到他身边。今天这个故事预先说明了神的爱子已预备要为我们死，让我们知道他爱我们。在马可福音十二章最后一段也说了同样的事。
Let me read it to you. It's only a few verses. I'll start with verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents.
我来读，从四十一节开始。耶稣面向圣殿银库坐着，看众人怎样把钱投入银库。有好些财主投了许多钱，有一个穷寡妇来投了两个小文钱，就是一个大文钱。
Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty." Put in everything, all she had to live on.
耶稣叫门徒来对他们说，我实在告诉你们，这穷寡妇投入银库里的比众人所投的更多，因为众人都是拿有余的奉献，但这寡妇虽然自己不足，却把自己一生所有的全都投进去了。
We usually hear that this poor widow is a prime example of profound faith. We're usually told that this is how devoted we should be to the Lord.It's a nice sentiment, but I think it completely misses the point. It misses the point because it misses Jesus' teaching right before. Before Jesus saw this widow putting in all she had to live on, he tells those around him to beware of the religious leaders of the day. Why'd he do that? Well, one reason is because they love to be noticed. They bathed in the esteem and the popularity of being up front.Aren't we kind of like that too?
我们常听到人以这穷寡妇为例子来讲信心，告诉我们应该全然委身给主。这个观点很好，但我认为这不是重点，因为没有留意到耶稣之前的教导。耶稣在看这寡妇奉献之前，他教导众人要防备当时的宗教领袖。为什么？我想其中一个原因是他们喜欢受人注意。他们享受别人对他们的赞赏和欢迎。我们有时候会不会也跟他们相似呢？
That's not the only reason Jesus said to watch out. He said to watch out for the religious leaders of the day because they devour widows' houses. And what did Jesus say in the verses we just read? A widow's house being devoured? She put in all she had to live on? The pressure...And the expectation of giving led this woman to forgo eating just to make an offering that ended up lining the pockets of the ones in charge, those rascal religious leaders. She may have had faith, but this story is not about her faith. It's about the corrupt religious leaders that exploited her. Rather than taking care of the widow, they shackled her with a requirement to give. No wonder Jesus says they'll be judged more severely.
要防备的还不止这个。耶稣告诉众人，因为当时的宗教领袖侵吞寡妇的家产， 而刚才我们读的经文中，耶稣说什么？有个寡妇的家产被侵吞了，她把养生的都献上了。奉献的压力使得她就算没得吃都要奉献，而这些钱最后还是进了那些宗教领袖的口袋里。他或许很有信心，但这个故事的重点不是他的信心，而是宗教领袖的贪腐。他们没有看顾寡妇，反而用奉献的要求来捆绑他。难怪耶稣说他们要受更重的刑罚。
God's people are called to care for those who can't care for themselves, because that's exactly how the Lord Jesus treats us. We're just like the widow. You may be rich, but really you're poor.You're helpless, you're defenseless, you're unable to provide for yourself in the sense that Jesus was talking about.
神的子民应该要照顾那些无法照顾自己的人，因为神就是这样待我们。我们就像那穷寡妇。你或许有钱，但你实际上贫穷。在耶稣所谈的事上，你是无助、无力、没办法为自己做什么的人。
Yet Jesus comes to us repeatedly.He picks us up. He gives us an inheritance. He makes us a child of the king. We're adopted into that. This inheritance will never fade or diminish. He gives us heaven, and he foots the bill. There's no amount we can give, no percentage of our income that is enough. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And he calls us to care about those around us that are also helpless and defenseless and hurting.Who can you love today or this week with this kind of love? As we come to understand more and more just how deeply we are loved by Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, who loved us and gave himself up for us, the more we will be compelled to love and serve others at our own expense, just like Jesus does for us.
然而耶稣不断来亲近我们，他抱起我们，给我们继承权，使我们被收养成为天国君王的儿女。这份产业不会褪色或减少，是耶稣替我们付出代价我们才有的。这个代价远超过我们的能力范围，也不是金钱能衡量的。耶稣付了代价，全额付清。他也呼召我们要去看顾在我们身边的人，那些无助无力保护自己受伤的人们。今天或这个星期，有谁是你要去爱的呢？当我们越来越明白耶稣为了爱我们所付的代价，我们就越能够付代价去爱和服侍别人，就像耶稣爱我们那样。朋友，在今天的节目内容当中，你会有怎么样的感触呢？对于李诺来说，我看到的就是耶稣基督，他为我们所做的实在是要成为我们的榜样。就是说，耶稣曾经怎样做，他面对什么样的人，说什么样的话，做什么样的事，如今我们也是这样。还记得传道书里面说，日光之下并无新事。这句话实在是一个真理。尽管我们现在所处的时代跟1000多年前有很大的区别，但事实上我们所面对的环境、人与人之间的关系，还有社会层面上许多的问题呢，其实 都是大同小异的。当耶稣说要防备宗教领袖，防备法利赛人文士他们那种的行为，他们那种的心的时候呢，查尔斯提醒我们，是不是我们有的时候也会比较喜欢受到别人的欢迎、赞赏和关注呢？我们在做一件事的时候，是否也是为了得到别人的欣赏呢？记得前段时间呢，李诺看到过这样一句话，是一位属灵的前辈分享的。他说，当你去服侍人的时候，当你去帮助人的时候，请把你的相机留在家里。我就想到耶稣曾说，你左手做的事不要让右手所知道。但是呢，我们现在是一个网络发达的时代，信息资讯非常发达的时代。也许我们在南半球的某一个地方做了某一件事情，下一秒钟就会被北半球的人发现了，因为现在的科技实在太便捷了。但问题的关键是，我们是否会享受于利用现在这些便捷的科技来彰显自己的所作所为呢？我想这是值得我们去思考的。耶稣在比喻之后提到了一位穷寡妇献上的两个小钱，不可否认，这个穷寡妇实在真的是有信心，确实是我们的榜样，他可以献上自己所需的给主。但问题的关键是，查尔斯所提醒我们的另外一个点，就是有关于我们怎样去对待这些可能已经没有能力照顾自己这样的人。当我们分享爱心、分享奉献的时候，大可以侃侃而谈，但是实际的生活当中，我们现在当下所处的环境当中，我们有没有付出一点点真诚的、没有任何私心的那个爱心去帮助那些真正有需要的人呢？希望今天的节目能够给我们一些的提醒，也盼望耶稣基督为我们所做的能够让我们知道，我们原本什么都没有，我们现在所有的也不过是神给我们的恩典。而神给我们的恩典的目的，不只是让我们个人去享受的，而是让我们能够学习他的样式，效法他，能够牺牲，能够付出代价，去帮助，去服侍别人。盼望我们能够更多的思考。邀请朋友你来信跟李诺交流。蓝天绿洲的节目邮箱是 haven@良友.net， 短信号码是13229966122，短信开头请注明蓝天。感谢朋友您今天的收听，我是李诺，我们下期节目时间再会。